The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 61 and 62. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God, and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. There's a story, and I understand this is a true story from what I've been able to do my research on, but there was a woman named Frances Green. She's about 83 years old, woman of humble means, but every year when she got an envelope from the Republican National Committee asking for donations, for 8 straight years she faithfully sent a dollar bill away. Then one year she got a beautiful envelope, sort of a cream-colored envelope with gold and black writing on it. Looked kind of fancy on the outside. And on the inside it says, you've been invited to the White House. So she continues to read, and she goes, no, I've been invited to the White House. It gives a day and a time. So, being a modest means, it took her a little bit to save the money, but she saved it, borrowed it from some relatives, too. She got a train ride from California all the way to Washington, D.C., and on the appointed day, at the appointed hour, she was outside the gates of the White House talking to one of the guards. And she's got her letter in her hand that she can go in and see President Reagan. And the guard explains to her, no, this was a solicitation letter. They wanted money. If you donated enough money, you could get the invitation to see the president. But she says, I came all this way. There's another man standing in line who happened to be the president of Ford Motor Company. And he says, well, wait a minute. Let me see what I can do. Give me your name and address, you know, where you're staying tonight, and I'll get back to you. The president of Ford Motor calls her back later that day and says, you actually do have an appointment with President Reagan tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So they let her in. The story goes, like I said, as far as I can tell, it's true. President Reagan sat down with her for an hour, listening to the woman tell her about her life, her family, about the town she came to. And they were getting on like two long-lost friends. When the hour was up, President Reagan politely said he had to get back to the work of the country, and she went back home and couldn't believe what $8 had gotten her. Simeon and Anna had received an invitation, but this was a true invitation to see the King of Kings. They had lived their entire lives in anticipation of this. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 26 says, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was upright and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Of Anna, it says in verse 38, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Jesus to all who were waiting for the anticipation of the redemption of Israel. They had received an in-person invitation that they would each see Jesus, that they wouldn't die before they had actually seen the Christ child. And they knew it was true because it was from God. Now, somebody told me I'm not going to die before the Lions win the Super Bowl, I'd laugh them off the face of the planet because we know that ain't going to ever happen. But when God makes a promise that you're not going to die till you see the Christ child, you can absolutely bank on that one. Now, why don't Anna and Simeon get much press? Anybody's manger scene at home have a little Simeon and Anna? You ever see them on a Christmas card? Now, why is it we stick to three wise guys? All right? Larry, Curly, and Mo. All right? Why do we stick to three wise guys in a manger scene when they don't appear for up to 2 years later? But we don't put in Simeon and Anna. Hallmark is missing out on something here, I'm telling you, because these are two very important personalities in the whole Christmas story itself. Excuse me. Almost the neglect of the two of them, all right, almost says that they weren't important, but they were important. They were important enough to God that not only did he record their names, he recorded what they said. Same way the Bible tells us that we matter. Our names are recorded. They're recorded in the book of life. Our lives are valuable to him, just as the lives of Anna and Simeon were valuable to God. Now, God can do something to make our lives valuable to him. Now, that sounds a little strange. God can do something to make our lives valuable to him. Well, what made Anna and Simeon so spectacular? First, who they were. God says of Simeon that he was righteous and devout. Devout, it means committed to God. Simeon was committed to God. That was his one focus. And then we have Anna, 84 years old, in other words, probably in charge of the ladies' guild. All right, a lot of fasting and prayer, always about the temple. All right, and she was committed to fasting and praying, as it says in our gospel lesson. They committed themselves to be useful to God. Simeon and Anna made themselves useful to God by committing themselves to Him. And they did this long before God used them. This is at the end of their life. We don't know when the promise was made to them, but Anna, depending on how you translate it, either Anna was 84 years old or had been a widow for 84 years. All right? In other words, she'd been a widow a real long time. All right? Now, we don't know when the promise was made, but in other words, decades she had been waiting for that promise. She had committed herself, and that made her, quote, useful to God. So the first principle here is if you want God to make a difference in your life, you've got to decide that you want Him to do that, to use you and to use you as He sees fit. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Did you catch that one? The hearts have got to be committed to Him first. Then He says, "Then I can use you." Jesus said in another way, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, we just got done, you know, with Christmas. I'm sure nobody's put their Christmas decorations away yet, have they? Good. But all the red kettles are gone. I love the Salvation Army. They do a fantastic job. But I really hate when I'm trying to talk on the phone and got ding, 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 ding in the background. It's just one of my pet peeves. I love this. I'll just shut up because people think that I'm against the Salvation Army, and I'm not. They're a wonderful organization. But one city put a noise ordinance into place that it actually made the sounding of the bells illegal in that town. And one of the bell ringers was told by the police that she had to stop ringing the bells because it was breaking a city ordinance, and he sure didn't want to be the one who had to fine the Salvation Army. So she stopped ringing the bells. Well, the next day, she stood there. Her little bell was just hanging up there. And she held up a sign. Ding! Dong! All right, let's try it. Now, is that the bell sound or what you think of me? See, you got to have a sense of humor in life. But there's a case of that bell ringer. She was so committed to what she was doing, that she was going to find a way to get it done. That's the type of person that God wants. Somebody fully committed to His mission. Now, the second thing to notice about Simeon and Anna is what they wanted. They had a wish list for life. Do you remember writing up wish lists when you were little? Remember the old Sears catalog when you were little and come out with all the toys in it? And what would you do? Circle all the things you wanted. I found it easier to circle the things I didn't want. All right? It was always sort of a wish list. All right? And yes, we'll just drop it right there. I was going to make it. Santa then looks at that list and says, "What does he have in stock for the kids?" All right. But that's the wish list. Santa, Anna, and Simeon had their wish list, and the only thing on their wish list was to see the Christ child. They didn't want tools. They didn't want toys. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel, as Simeon said, or as Anna put it, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Israel at this time is a very divided country. Part of the country supported the Romans, and part wanted to fight the Romans. Even within the church itself, the church leaders, some of them wanted to fight the Romans, other ones wanted to get along with the Romans. The religious leaders were fighting amongst themselves. Israel, really first century Palestine, as it was known at that time, was a place without a lot of hope. but it would see its hope in the birth of the Savior. Isaiah 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And just a few verses before that, Isaiah writes, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." When Jesus comes into the world, he brings the light that dispels the darkness. He brings order to that first century Palestine, the same way he brings order to our lives and world today. And we're in awe of that light. You know, one thing I love about little kids with Christmas trees is after mom and dad usually, well, it's not mom and dad, when mom gets done decorating the tree. See, you know what my job decorating the tree is? I'm a hooker. I take all the ornament hooks and hand them out. You see what I did there? All right. That's my whole job. So I don't decorate the tree, Susan does. But when the kids were little, the big deal was in the moment when it was all done and the star was on top of the tree and you plugged it in, and the little kids are just in awe and they just stare at the tree because there's something magical about that tree. I am going to kill this phone if it beeps one more time in my pocket. Sorry. It's beeping and vibrating away, just driving me. It's irritating me if you haven't figured that out. All right. God could use Simeon and Anna because of who they were and what they wanted. And the last thing that made them valuable to God is who they were looking for. Both Anna and Simeon were looking for the redemption of Israel. They were looking for the Messiah. And they realized Jesus wasn't just a mere baby. Simeon says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel." See, one of the, quote, problems of Christmas is people only see a baby. There's a church that put a manger scene out front. And I don't know why people like to do this. They like to steal the baby Jesus. Somehow I just can't imagine appearing before my Maker. "So what did you steal when you were on the earth?" "Baby Jesus." Anyway, don't you guys ever wonder those things? All right, I do. So the police came, and the pastor was filling out the police report, and he says, "You have to find the baby Jesus, because this is the only Jesus my congregation knows." Now, I know what he was getting at, but just the way he put it, the only Jesus they knew. What, a harmless plastic doll? When he comes to the earth, he comes as a baby, but he's also God in the flesh. He came to live amongst us. He came to walk amongst us. He would die and rise to give us hope. Max Lucado writes in his book, God Came Near, "When God chose to reveal himself, he did so through a human body. The tongue that called forth the dead from the dead was a human one. The hand that touched the leper had dirt under its nails. The feet upon which the woman wept were calloused and dirty. And his tears, oh, don't miss the tears. They came from a heart as broken as yours or mine has ever been. So people came to him. My, how they came to him. They came at night. They touched him as he walked down the street. They followed him around the sea. They invited him into their homes, and they placed their children at his feet. Why? Because he refused to be a statue in a cathedral or a priest in an elevated pulpit. He chose instead to be Jesus. There were those who mocked him and those who were envious of him, who misunderstood him, and there were those who revered him. But there was not one person who considered him too holy, too divine, or too celestial to touch. There was not one person who was reluctant to approach him for fear of being rejected. Remember that. I kind of like that last line. Nobody ever feared that they would go up to Jesus and Jesus would reject them. Remember, the baby of Christmas is destined for the cross and the tomb. He's destined to suffer for our sins. He rises to give us hope. What type of Jesus are you looking for? Do you just see an innocent babe in the manger, or do you see the Savior? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.